Welcome back to Alien Chariot of the Gods on How We Roll. Wow, things are getting dicey here. Our crew is scrambling and all over the place. And so now the security person, Valerie Reed, Leia Davis from the Montero, and Liam, the medic, are all in the med bay and just completed a surgery that did not go as expected. And John J. Wilson is taking care of some business with the other corporate person, Miss Clayton. So let's bring the camera in to the med bay and find out what's going on with that crew.
You got out of them?
Yeah, just about.
Now put them back together.
Right, Leah, you all right?
What? No, I'm good. I don't need another drink. I'm all right, yeah.
I just kind of fall back into unconsciousness.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. Leah, I'm going to give you something for the pain. Here you go.
As the medic, you have a stimulant that you can administer right now. So give me a medical aid roll, please.
Medical aid is 8 by default, plus 5 stress. Okay, that is 2-3 successes and no panic.
Okay, great. So you have been able to successfully administer the stimulant. So with the extra successes, you were able to deliver it in such a way that it went straight to their heart and is energizing them. So, Leia, you will get a plus one bonus die on all agility skills for the foreseeable future until this wears out.
Yeah, Leah just kind of comes to again and is like, wow, that is an upper. Bloody hell, where'd you get that? And like, what's the state of their body right now? Because they've just kind of had a big procedure. And so have they been kind of a bit sewn up after, or?
It's seeping. There's a little bit of fluid seeping, but it's fully sealed. Some sort of staples and some kind of spray. You know, like a new skin spray was applied to it as well.
I've had worse hangovers. Right.
We gotta go. We gotta get into the stasis pods before one of those fucking things gets us.
I'm not going to sleep while they're still running around, as far as I'm concerned, and I'll load the shotgun. We gotta get them off the ship.
No. We get to the asteroid. They'll sort it there. We just need to go and hunker down. We'll be fine, right? They didn't get us when we were in the stasis pods before. They won't get us now.
I think we've got another problem as well. I don't know if we get in the stasis pods, if we'll stay there, or what'll happen to us, because we got fucking corporate breathing down our necks to the point of wanting to chop our fucking heads off.
What do you mean?
Corporate. John. And his ilk. Yeah. Whoever is from yours.
They'll be going to the stasis pods too, surely.
You can't trust them, and they don't trust us. I wouldn't go into stasis knowing John was up and about. Definitely not.
Or as far as I'm fucking concerned, the only way that we're going to get rid of them is if we blow them all to hell.
Right. The aliens or corporate?
Whoever gets in the fucking way.
To the stasis pods?
To the nest.
Yeah, to the nest. I think Leah just, like, grabs Liam's arm. It's like, come on, let's go!
I ain't going to no fucking nest.
I'll grab the other arm. Like, so Leah's got one arm, I've got the other arm. Like, I mean, imagine Liam, like, facing the other way and, like, being dragged.
hey, wait, I need to get something.
All right, what do you need?
So as soon as you put him down, he'll run over with the idea of looking over to, you know, the cupboards and things to get some more medicine. And as soon as he's far enough away from you, he's going to bolt for the door.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Enjoy your death.
We're the ones with the fucking guns.
Where is Liam bolting to?
The stasis pods.
Okay. All right, so you are heading for which ladder or elevator to go up to A deck?
Let me open a map. This seems like a really bad idea.
I think it's brilliant.
He's going to go up the corridor towards the front of the ship, so like the left-hand side of the corridor. So pass through the living area, past the corporate suite, and towards junction B1.
Because you know the cryo chambers are right above you, so junction B2 would be a more direct route. Oh, by the way, you have an epiphany. after reviewing those notes earlier, your scientific medical mind is, you know, parsing out and thinking about multiple things at once. And it's putting together some of the string of notes that Dr. Cooper had put together, but he didn't actually reform them into this conclusion. But you are taking his notes and going to that conclusion, which is the vaccination that Dr. Cooper concocted with that serum that was found on that other planet. I think it was like LV-1177 or whatever that previous planet was, 77 odd years ago. There's a DNA strain from that serum that was used in the vaccination, meaning everyone who's taken the vaccination was basically infected with a version of the virus that supposedly has mutated some of the crew. It wasn't a complete vaccination, more of a lower dose infection.
Oh, fuck. So he's going to start running towards B2, and then he's going to have this epiphany and kind of skid to a halt. And he's going to touch his radio for a moment, so everyone else will kind of hear this static. And then you'll probably hear him going, fuck. And then it will go off, and he's going to run back to the science bay to see if it's anything he can do there.
Okay. Science bay being either lab one or lab two.
Whichever one he was in previously.
I think it was lab one.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Okay. All right. So you can head down the hallway towards lab one. So Liam has bolted and left Leia and Valerie behind, and you guys seem to be pretty focused on the nest. Is that right?
Mm. How much do you know about explosives, chemicals, that kind of shit?
When it comes to chemicals, I guess Liam would be more your guy, but I can point guns and shoot explosives at things.
And they kind of tote the pulse rifle with the grenade launcher option.
I think this would go nicely in that nest.
Yeah, I'm just thinking those grenades will be good. I'm just hoping it's enough for all of them, that's all.
God, I hope so.
So well, we can take out most of them.
In terms of the weapon, because it doesn't have any reloads, so does that mean it's like a one-time use, or...?
The way weapons work in Alien is the weapon is fully loaded until when you roll your attack dice and you get a panic, you get a panic result, and at that moment, that's when the weapon empties.
Right. Surely with the 7 stress is going to be A-okay.
Totally fine.
Also, I took another stimulant. Do I get to de-stress, or is that...
Yeah. Too jammy. Let's take 2 stress off.
Sweet! I'm sure Leah with their 5 stress will be just fine. Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Mother.
Wow. Shall we?
Just thinking, as a military person, would I know of anything that the ship might have in place for things like intruders or stuff like that, like lockdowns or... something that might be useful for us. A purge.
I believe Valerie is already aware that the armory has been raided already, so you know that there's nothing there in the armory. I would say that Valerie would probably think about the weapons that they already have in hand, and that possibly there could be some heavy equipment that might be used for mining and drilling or doing other kind of geological studies that could be in the vehicle bay area.
I think Lyran was more the MacGyver when it came to making ad hoc flamethrowers. So sure. I think Valerie's just going to go with the good old-fashioned shotgun. She knows that that works. So yeah, she'll give Leia a thumbs up and head towards the nest where Carl and Lyran's life signs died.
Yeah. Awesome. I think Leia's got a bit of a revenge mission in mind for Lyran and Carl.
Okay.
Justice for Carl!
All right.
And Lyran.
Lyran doesn't need any justice.
Awesome. There is a elevator, and, you know, power is on in the ship, so there's an elevator fairly close by that'll take you down right to the outside of Cargo Bay 1 on Deck C, if you want to take that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think strategy.
Check it for aliens and mold. Yeah.
Back to back. And if we need to retreat, tactical retreat.
And I forget, are any of you three, so I'm including Liam in this question, are any of you three in environmental suits? Anybody on your own air supply?
Leah is, yes.
Liam is.
Valerie is not.
All right, so for Liam and Leah, please make an oxygen check.
No, good.
Okay. What is your current oxygen level?
My current is 5.
So roll 5 base dice, yeah.
I don't have any 6s, so that's okay.
Yeah, then that's cool. Totally good. So you are still fine, you're breathing your oxygen, and it did not reduce.
Nice.
All right. So you guys take off for the elevator, and you're going to head down towards Cargo C, while Liam took off, had his epiphany. He's moving down towards Science Lab 1. While all this is going on, John J. Wilson, our corporate man, was already on Cargo C, retrieving some canisters, had a close encounter, and is ready to exit that area and return to Miss Clayton.
So that's exactly what I'm doing. No detours, just taking the canisters, heading back up to Deck B and heading straight for Clayton's cabin.
So great, you're in the corporate suite, and it is a very lavishly furnished room. Soft lighting, real plants, grand piano. And there's even like faux sunlighting in here, you know, so it looks like there's a sunset on one wall. And so as you're coming in, Clayton is bustling around and like packaging up some stuff. And she looks at you and says, did you get it?
Is the cryopod almost ready to go? I had a very close encounter out there. Yeah, I mean, at this stage, Wilson is shaking. I almost got... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Looking a bit weak and woozy, he just drops the canister and lets it roll across the ground.
Careful with that! Careful with that!
I'm sorry, my hands aren't working up. It's stress. Please, give me a hand.
You pick those up. Hold on. And so she turns and she slides across this, like, picture and punches some buttons.
Okay, as soon as she does it, I was trying to distract her with that anyway, but as soon as she does that, I'm going to get my bolt gun and shoot her in the back of the head.
Damn. Oh my god! Yes.
All right. Okay, yeah, make a ranged attack.
Okay, so I've got ranged attack of 1, agility of 4, and 5 stress. So this is 5 base die and 5 stress dice.
Oh.
Okay, that is 3 successes and 1 panic.
All right. Make your panic roll. 1d6 plus your current stress level.
That's 8.
It's a tremble. You start to tremble uncontrollably. All skills used in the agility will suffer a -2 modification until your panic stops. You panic. That tremble occurs because you shoot Clayton in the back of the head. And as she was like, she entered in a code. There was some sort of secret panel. She moved a picture off to the side, and there was a panel. She was entering this and registered, you know, some sort of biometric. And just as she registered the biometric, one wall kind of pushes in, and then hydraulics start moving it off to the side. And as it's sliding open, suddenly her skull opens up as you ventilate her brains all over the wall. And that's where the tremble comes from, as you're watching her slide to the floor, dead.
Look, I'm sorry, I'll say to the corpse. It's nothing personal. I know you would have done the same to me, given half a chance. Anyway, right, I'll pick up the canister from the ground and move over to the panel that opened up.
Okay, inside this small room, you see a escape vehicle. It's got 2 cryopods, you know, to sleep in, and there's an area for storage and whatnot. And yeah, it looks fully automated. So once you get in and start activating stuff, it looks like this thing will just jettison.
Okay, in which case, yes, I will stow the biological sample safely and prepare to leave as soon as I can. Put in a course for the nearest Weyland Yutani facility and get everything in order.
Bastard.
Give me a give me a contact.
This fails and you crash into
this
the
is
ship.
Complex complex device here.
Okay. Did my stress go up as a result of that last roll? I'm trying to remember how
yes,
this works.
Increased by one. Yeah, okay. Take your stress up.
Okay, so this is wits 3, comtech 1, so that's 4 base and 6 stress. Oh, that is one success on the stress dice and no panics.
And all you need is one success. So, John J. Wilson, you have successfully stored and secured these canisters. You have initiated the autopilot and the auto launch sequence. You put yourself into this cryo chamber, and as it is sealing, yeah.
Before that happens, could Liam contact Clayton, which would make her radio buzz, and so potentially John Jay would hear this?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Go ahead.
So Liam's in med lab. He basically calls Clayton on a private line and goes,
"Clayton, I know what you were working with Cooper. I know what Weyland Yutani want from this thing, and they're absolutely wrong. I think I've made a break for you. You're going to need to see this. Please, where are you? I need to show you this right now."
I'll pick up the comm and say, sorry, you caught Clayton in the bathroom, but she'll be right down. And then I'll take the battery out of the comms and go back to setting up the cryopod.
Okay. So, John J. Wilson, you complete the sequence. Your cryopod seals. As it's sealing, you see the false wall resets itself. So it's, if you were inside the corporate suite, it would just look like the corporate suite. And sure enough, as you're getting cold and things are starting to go dark for you, the escape vehicle jettisons from the ship through some sort of tunnel, and you just kind of find yourself out in the void of space. And as the pod is beginning to turn, you see the silvery sheen of the Cronus below you, and the pod is continuing to turn. Things are going dark for you, and as you're starting to go into blissful sleep, you see a second silver sheen out in space as there's another ship nearby, and John J. Wilson is out.
Okay. I'm sure that's nothing to worry about. I think his last thoughts before he saw that ship as he was drifting off was, well, at least with there only being one of us, that makes the division of the bonus much simpler. But then just that glimpse of the other ship is just, I think, going to give him some bad dreams.
All right, so the curtain falls on John J. Wilson, and we will raise the curtain on Liam in Science Lab. All right, so Wilson responded to you as you're trying to call Clayton, and you don't seem to be able to get a signal back as you try and redial.
And he'll try Wilson as well. Wilson, can you hear me? I can't get through to Clayton. Fuck.
Probably, you think maybe a wideband call might just be able to blanket and cover anything if you want.
He's going to basically lock this science lab down, including if there's any kind of large equipment or anywhere I can kind of bolt down air vents. And then he's going to power up all the equipment and do his best to try and figure out a way that he's not going to die.
Okay. You power that up. Why don't you... let's see. This is all of a medical thing. Why don't you give me a medical aid roll as you're doing research for that? And this will take time.
Sure. No. That's two successes and one panic.
Okay. Give me a panic roll. Again, this will take time, so we're just kind of setting up for what's happening in the future here.
So I rolled a 6.
Grand total?
Yeah.
Well, you're keeping it together then, so there won't be much of a panic at all. All right, so you'll be spending some time doing this research, and we'll come back to you on that resolution here shortly.
Oh, sorry, I just wanted to make one thing clear as well before we kind of moved away from Wilson completely, which is he'll use the other cryopod for Kenny because he's not a complete
monster. Oh, that's good.
Yay. Yes. That's a nice twist.
At least he's not a complete monster.
Kenny's in the other pod. I like it.
So, awesome. Just before we leave Liam, he'll call the other two and say,
"All right, I don't know where you two are going. I don't know if you're still alive, but Wilson and Clayton, they're gone. I don't know if they're dead or if they've left somehow, but I can't get them on any radio band. They're not here anymore."
Oh, fucking hell. That's my plans out the window.
Either they're dead or they've hopped ship somehow. I'm banking on them being eaten, to be honest.
So aren't any escape vehicles left? There's no way. There's no way an idiot like John could work something like that. Oh, nah. Nah. He's here. Hiding.
Well, that's not the only piece of bad news. I've just been working on this Draconis strain. That vaccine that was meant to be a vaccine is absolutely not that. It's just a weakened version of the virus. Anyone who's taken it, like me and you, Clayton, and I'm afraid now you, Leah, we're fucked. Our heads are going to be popping in the next few hours, no matter what. I'm in the science lab now.
I got it taken out of me, so I'm all right, right? I can't have two. I'm not having twins, am I?
I mean, I'd like to say yes. I don't really know how it works, but to be honest, this thing is more, like, less of a pregnancy and more of a, like, a parasite.
Shit. Fucking hell.
It'll grow inside you again and again and again until you're gone.
Well, you're sciencey, aren't you? What? Figure it out.
I will. I'll do my best.
Yeah, can't you fix it?
That's what I'm doing. I'm in the lab right now.
Thank you. Seriously.
Doing it for me.
I heard that, you little bastard.
Shit. I'm going to do a wide... Can I do a wide band thing on my comms?
You can.
I'm gonna basically say to everybody, everybody, get to a cryopod now. I don't care where you are, what you're doing. Get into a cryopod. I don't know who picked that up, but I'm hoping someone did.
Someone did. Of that, I'm sure. All right, so Leia and Valerie are heading down, and you are now on C deck, and Cargo Bay 1, it's got one of those, like, giant garage doors, you know, that roll up into the ceiling, and that door is wide open. From the angle that you're approaching as you exit out of the elevator, the cargo bay is just to your left, and you can see just, like, across the floor and kind of spilling out onto the catwalk. There's like a heavy, thick mist that's about knee high. And as it just kind of cascades out of Cargo Bay 1, it just waterfalls through the catwalk and is drifting down and evaporating as it falls down into the open cargo area of Deck D.
Can I radio Liam?
Absolutely.
Liam, you said this thing was like some kind of fucking disease, right?
Well, sort of, yeah.
What happens if we turn up the heat, like, real high? Like, a fever? Run it out? Do you think these things will be affected?
That's what I'm trying to find out right now.
Just thinking about it, it's been pretty chill. And they've been alright. And, there's all this mist and shit. Like, if it gets real hot and tropical, do you think it might, I don't know, burn them out?
Like, I do like your thinking, and I think that might work with, like, a less resilient kind of life form. But this thing survived with basically -273 Kelvin or close to without any issues at all. There's one of them fucking walking around in space, again, without any issues. I suspect that any heat that we turn it up to that we will survive, they will survive as well.
Shit. Okay. That's that idea out the window. Shotgun it is.
Hey, I might be wrong.
All right, so you guys come around the corner to check out and enter Cargo Bay 1.
Yeah, I think Leah, while they're sort of sneaking in, kind of turns to Valerie and says,
right, so, yeah, I think we need to take out this nest, obviously. As for the other little fucking aliens and corporate running around on the ship, I hate to say this, but I think our priority is to switch to Liam after this nest. Get him at the heart, really kick him in the balls, and then let's retreat back to the science lab and protect the little brainiac. Because if he doesn't figure out something to get rid of this, we're all fucked.
You're right. I think we need that cure. We need that cure for you, and we need that cure for everybody who's probably got it in their system already.
Yeah.
Shit, I might even have it.
Wait, let me gaze deeply into your eyes. No reason. Sorry, let's carry on. Okay.
You've gone a bit pink. Are you feeling all right? Has it affected you?
I'm fine. It's fine. Don't wish my eyes go yellow. That's the bad thing. Okay, let's go.
Why don't each of you give me a mobility test to see if you can stealth your way in?
Okay. See if Leah doesn't trip over themselves after that awkward moment.
What is my mobility? Where am I? Where is my character sheet?
Yes, mobility is an agility test.
Cool, thanks. So, agility 4.
Oh, I got a fuck ton of dice for this.
I've got 6 base and 3 stress. Ooh, 2 successes.
Nice.
Very nice.
Oh, I'm rolling 8 base and 5 stress.
Oh, God.
Woo! That's 2 successes. Nice. And no panics. Wow.
All right. Nice. So you guys are able to stealth your way around the corner and get into the initial threshold of Cargo Bay 1 without attracting any attention. All right. You've been very quiet. As you've come around this corner, you've kind of entered into Cargo Bay 1. You can see that the nest has, it seems to have gotten larger in size. You know, these creatures have been secreting some kind of resin and have been converting this area into a habitat that is more friendly for them. You've seen how some of the crew have been collected and almost kind of physically crushed into a egg-shaped thing. But now there's been more advancement and maturity. As you guys came around this, snuck your way in, you see 2 huge albino white creatures with these super long, spindly spider legs, huge bulbous heads with these tiny little black eyes. And these 2 creatures are just kind of stepping across and caretaking of these eggs, almost like nurses, nursemaidens kind of caring for these eggs. Viewing these 2 huge creatures doing this gives each of you 1 stress.
He just turns to Valerie. He's like, do we target the nest first, or do we get rid of these ones? I don't know.
You've got 2 grenades, right?
Yeah. As long as I don't roll any panic.
1 grenade at them, 1 grenade at the nest.
How far away is the nest from the crew eggs/weird aliens?
The nest is encompassing the crew eggs. It's all part of the nest.
So I guess I could try to one-shot it, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, this grenade's gonna hopefully.
Yeah, and I could cover you with the shotgun if they come too close.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you cover me, and I'll just try to fucking launch that thing into smithereens. Fucking hell, here we go.
So are they in a place where they could line up the shot now, or do they need to move further in?
You can shoot now. You can shoot now. Depending upon how successful you are, we'll determine on how many of these creatures you get. Because you're getting a surprise, since your stealth rolls were successful, this will be a surprise attack. So we're not going to do initiative. But after this initial attack, obviously, should they survive, they'll know that you're here, and we will start initiative.
Cool. Whoa. I'm going to put my hand on Leia's shoulder, gaze deeply at them, and say, you got this. I believe in you.
Okay. I had like an idea in the back of my head that maybe Leia gets really flustered around Valerie because she reminds them of an ex-lover that they had. So I wonder if Leia kind of looks at Valerie and is like, okay, Laura. I mean, Valerie. Okay, right, gonna take the shot now. Fuck me. And they just kind of turn. Because I was planning just a little peek behind the veil. If Leia was going to die in the medical scene, they were going to kind of look up at Valerie and be like, you remind me of my Laura. And then just like, pass. But it didn't come. So, you know, maybe we could set that up if they die later or something. Because that'd be cool. Yeah. But anyway, background aside. So they are going to line up the shot and hope for the best. But they do have quite a good role, so... fingers crossed for no panic. Whee! Okay, so yeah, it's 8 base again. That plus 1 to agility is very nice. No success! Oh no, 1 success and 1 panic.
All right. Yep, so roll 1d6 and your current panic is a 6.
Woo! Okay, so I got 8. An 8.
Yep. So that'll be a tremble. You start to tremble, all agility skills will suffer a -2 modification until your panic stops. So it'll negate, the tremble is negating the bonus that you got from the stimulant. But you had a successful hit, so how much damage do you have that noted, or do I need to look it up?
I do not, unfortunately, sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine, I can do that.
Hopefully it's lots. Oh, and also because I got a panic, does that mean my weapon is... null and void now.
Correct. It is now empty. Okay.
Cool. So I think they'll chuck it to the ground.
Were you using the grenade or the rifle part of it?
Oh yeah. So you have no grenades, but the gun can still shoot.
Right. Oh sweet. I will not drop my weapon.
So you successfully launched your grenade. Your grenade exploded with a blast 9 explosion. Okay. So I need, because I want this to be in the player's hands. So Leia, roll 9 base dice.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
3 successes.
Okay.
And 1 failure, I guess. One.
That doesn't do anything. Okay. This is just base dice. So nice. this is the damage roll from the explosion that you did. All right, so kaboom. And so my creatures were in that blast.
Please be dead. Please.
At the very least, you've got their attention.
More dice.
Okay. You guys are also close to the blast range. So, ooh. Let's see. Leia is wearing a suit that's going to provide some armor. So, why don't you roll... I think you have an armor 2. So, roll 2 base dice, please.
Okay. This is 3 and a 1.
All right. So, you didn't absorb any of it, but you'll take just 1 point of damage because you guys are far enough away. You're kind of on the edge of the blast radius. And with no armor... Valerie, I'll let you make a mobility roll to see if you could duck out of the way. Because at the last second, you realize, you know, you're the Marine. They aren't. And so at the last second, you're like, oh, shit, it's a grenade.
I got 2 successes.
Leia was knocked on their can from the blast radius. So you've fallen backwards on the ground. And that also contributed to the injury you took. But Valerie was like, oh boy, and kind of ducked and rolled and got behind a heavy piece of something that took the brunt of the explosive damage. But because of that, now we can do initiative.
Yay!
Let me find my initiative cards here.
They're my favorite.
I'm just wondering how many of Leia's new stitches just popped.
Boom! Right. Ow!
Oh, fuck.
My tummy hurts.
It's okay, we're shielded with the power of love.
That's right.
The power of love.
This is a whole Thebes thing. As long as we're both together, it's fine.
All right. So, for Leia, your initiative is 3. Nice. That's a really good initiative. Valerie, your initiative is 4. Wow, you guys got really good initiative. The aliens will work as a single unit, and so each of them, or they'll be as a pair. So as a pair, they get 2 cards. So their initiatives are going to be 1 and 7. So I thought I might be able to go after you guys, but no. I'm going to go a little bit before.
At least it wasn't 1 and 2. It could have been worse.
It could have been worse. Yeah, it could have been 1 and 2. All right. So we begin the initiative, and the creatures are enraged. So Beluga 1.
Fair. To just get their home grenaded.
It Beluga 1 seemed to have kind of like ducked a little bit and threw up some of its arms to take some of the blast, while Beluga 2, you know, seemed to have been caught more unawares. So Beluga 1 is like shaking its giant head, and you just seeing, you know, the fluid that's held within it is just kind of warbling back and forth, making these ripples across its skull. And so Beluga 1 looks at you, and it makes a horrible roar. The abomination screams in fury, and all humans in short range must make an immediate panic roll. I need both of you to please make a panic roll. D6 plus your current stress level.
So if I got 5,
I got 7.
Your total would be a 7 then, right?
No, I got 2, and then I added my 3 base dice. So okay. Overall 5.
3 stress, right? You have 3 stress?
Yeah.
All right, so a total of 5. Valerie is cool and calm and has definitely faced worse.
I got this.
In the past. How did...
Leia got a 7.
Leia got a 7. A little bit of a nervous twitch. Your stress level increases by 1.
Oh, back up to 7.
This nervous twitch overrides the tremble that you had, so your tremble is done and over. But that burst of adrenaline that caused the tremble, it has also negated the bonus that you're getting from the from the drugs.
So that's gone. Okay.
Yeah, that's gone. That was Beluga 1. Beluga 2, it doesn't roar. It leaps into a pounce. The abomination leaps onto its victim like a big monkey. Roll for the attack using 8 base dice, damage 1. If the attack hits, the victim is knocked to the ground, drops any handheld items, and must make an immediate panic roll. The abomination then starts pounding on the victim with its powerful fists. This is resolved as an immediate bonus attack with 12 base dice. Oh my goodness. All right. So let me start the leap attack. And actually, how about each of you please just roll me 1d6. I want to see who gets the lower number.
I rolled a 6.
Nice.
Uh-oh.
All right. So Valerie. So Beluga 2 is leaping at Valerie. Well, kiss my grits. I missed. Yes! So
amazing.
This giant creature is leaping towards Valerie, the marine, and Valerie is just like, duck and roll, and the creature like lands and scrambles and is on the other side and very close, within, I would say, even melee close.
Cool.
To Valerie. But that's it for the initial attack for the belugas, as now we go to Leia. Leia, you had fallen on the ground from the blast, but you still have your weapon in hand.
Ow, my arse.
And you can stand and use the weapon, so...
So, yes, I think I'm going to turn my rifle on Beluga 2.
All right, because it's super close to you.
Trying to attack my crush, which is obviously not cool. So, cool. Leia is going to shoot straight at its big, weird head. Right. No offense to it.
It's large enough and you're close enough that you'll get two dice bonus because you're just so close to this thing.
Excellent. Okay, so I'm going to pulse rifle it in the head, hopefully.
All right.
So a plus two bonus, right? Let's see me dice.
Oh, and the weapon itself gives you a plus one bonus. So add that too.
Wow. Okay, so that's 10 base dice.
Okay.
Nice.
Plus all of your stress.
Yeah. Which is a bit worrying because I have 7 stress again.
17 dice. That's amazing. And no successes. That is amazing.
Oh my god!
And a panic, so you can't push it.
And not only that, the weapon goes empty.
Oh my god. That could not have gone worse if I tried.
So many ones.
Roll 1d6.
Brutal.
There's 6 ones.
Oh my god.
Only one in the stress dice at least. So it could have been worse.
What are the chances of 17 dice and no success?
I know.
Bonkers.
I know. I felt like Leah's luck had run out after they successfully got through that medical op, to be fair. That we're living off borrowed time as far as I was concerned. So I think it's coming back to bite me. Bite me in the ass, literally, probably. Okay. So just
literally,
one base dice.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh,
uh-oh.
Woo!
Right, so that
okay.
Actually...
Yeah, that's 13.
So that's a 13. So that is a result of flee. You can't take it anymore. You must flee to a safe place and refuse to leave it. You won't attack anyone. You won't attempt anything dangerous. You are not allowed to make a retreat roll. If you have an enemy at engaged range, which you do when you flee, your stress level is decreased by 1, but every friendly character who sees you run must make an immediate panic roll. So reduce your stress by 1, and Valerie, please make a panic roll.
Can I use my talent Overkill?
Yeah, let's look that
up.
You
don't run and hide when the going gets tough. Instead of panicking in the face of mortal danger, you can turn your fear into aggression and use it as a weapon against your enemy. You can trigger the overkill effect when you make a panic roll.
Okay. So instead of doing a panic roll from seeing Leia run away, you're going to take that rage and pour it into fighting.
Yeah, I'm gonna blast the thing in the face.
All right. Do that now. I'll give you a plus one bonus die.
Cool. I've got my 12-gauge pump action shotgun.
That weapon normally bestows a plus two bonus. So, and I'm giving you a plus one from your raid. So you'll get 3 dice added. And this is a damage 3, but I get to double my armor. But we'll see what happens on that. All right.
So how many dice is this?
So range combat.
So 7.
With no bonuses. 7. And then I'm giving you 3 dice, so that'll take it to 10.
10.
And then you've got your stress.
10.
Which is 3, right?
1 success.
And 2 panic.
And 2 panic.
So your weapon is empty, and you said you have 2 reloads, so it'll take a full action to do a reload. But you did have a success, but let's double check the panic. Your stress is so low, though, this is going to be okay, even if you roll a 6, but Woo. Please roll a d6. Oh, you did roll.
Six.
So, whether by stress, it's drop item. Whether by stress, confusion, or the realization that you're all going to die anyways, you drop a weapon or other important item. The GM decides which one, and your stress level increases by 1. So you fired this weapon. It clicked empty. And when it clicked empty, you dropped it. But the weapon itself delivers 3 points of damage. I have to roll my armor. All right, yeah, you shoot it, and you make part of its body burst a bit. And it screeches and howls in pain. But your weapon also, went click, 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 and you dropped it. So now you have nothing in your hands. And now the two creatures have their second initiative. So this will be the second initiative action for the belugas. So for Beluga 1...
Uh-oh.
Oh my. Okay. So I'd like my victims. I'm sorry. I meant to say players. I'd like my players to each please roll 1d6, and I'm looking to see who has the lowest number.
In terms of Leah fleeing, are they basically, that's what they're going to be doing the next round?
That's what they're going to be doing on the next round. So you're still cool, technically here, and you're intending to leave.
Just going, oh, fuck. Over and over.
Okay, so, and this may even help contribute to Leia wanting to flee, as Beluga 2, which had initially tried to jump on Valerie, and Valerie kind of ducked and rolled, and it landed past her. Valerie had tried to shoot, and did shoot, but the weapon went empty, and they dropped their weapon, and as they're staring at Beluga 2, you guys have forgotten about Beluga 1, and Beluga 1 was slowly creeping up behind Valerie, and as Valerie has just, you know, shot and dropped their empty weapon, these large hands have now grasped Valerie's head on either side. The fingers have interlaced over her face, and the hands begin to crush Valerie's head.
Yay!
The abomination has grabbed the victim's head and tries to crush it with its bare hands. Roll the attack using 7 base dice, damage 1. If the attack causes damage, it automatically triggers critical injury number 64, even if the victim is not broken, killing the victim outright. So, Christ. I'm going to roll 7 dice. We're going to attempt a head crush.
Oh, no! This is why I die all the time in games, because I just run headfirst into the action.
And so, yes, Leah is freaking out and is about to run away, looks at Valerie, who has hauntingly reminds them of someone that they loved very deeply, and is looking as these giant, white, spindly-fingered hands grasp Valerie's skull and begin to squeeze as the head pops and an eye kind of comes out through the fingers, and you just see this pulp as the body goes slack, and unfortunately the neck muscles are still holding on. The body won't break free and fall to the floor. It's just being held there like a rag doll by this giant beluga.
Oh my god. No.
The other beluga, Beluga 2, is looking at Leia, and the beluga grabs the victim and tries to slam it to the floor at the nearest hard space. Roll the attack using 9 base dice, damage 1. If the attack hit, the victim lands prone at short range from the abomination, drops any handheld, which you're not holding any, and must make an immediate panic roll. All right, so let's see what happens. So I'm going to roll 9 dice as this giant thing grabs you. And yes, we'll do a total of 2 points of damage as it picks you up and just slams you to the ground, kind of crushing you onto that metal grated floor of the catwalk. I believe that is more damage than you can withstand. Is that
Leah
correct?
Leah is dead.
Yes. So the beluga is just crushing and crushing as your face is pushed through the strainer of that metal catwalk floor and just squishes through that. At that moment,
Leah Julian.
Just leaving the metal staples behind.
Yes.
Spaghetti.
God, what a way to go.
Unbeknownst to all that is happening, Liam in Science Bay 1 has been diligently working on and trying to examine these different things.
But his headphones on. There's like some sort of little bass tunes in the background.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving between all these terminals.
unfortunately, Liam hasn't noticed that there is this odd canister in the, you know, under a cabinet that is just oozing this black goo. And so as Liam is working at a microscope and is dutifully trying to do this examination and gaining more medical knowledge of what's going on with this, there is a slick, and almost looks like an oil slick of black goo creeping across the floor and is approaching you. Why don't you give me a mobility test?
A mobility test, okay.
Can't believe John John's the only survivor.
I'm so annoyed by this.
Absolutely not. I'm going to file a complaint.
Kenny survived as well.
That is one panic, one success.
Okay, roll your panic roll for me, if you would.
That is a 9.
Ooh. So drop item. So, Liam, as you were working, you felt something kind of grasp onto the leg of your suit. And as you look down, you stumble backwards and drop the microscope that you were working with. But as you do that, you're kind of stumbling back. This black goo is just creeping up, and it's like tendrils are slipping over and clutching at you, squeezing your leg as it's, you know, outside of your suit, and you begin to hyperventilate. Give me an oxygen usage roll, please.
That's fine. I want a 1.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you, Hammer Horror. You're trying.
So yeah, there's this black goo, and you can feel it physically squeezing. It feels like it could continue to squeeze and maybe even rupture the suit.
Is there like some nice little hamsters or something like that I could tempt it with?
No, there's some Bunsen burners.
Ooh, or is there something like liquid nitrogen I could pour on it?
Give me an observation roll.
I mean, if there's a Bunsen burner to hand, I'll just use that. I'm not going to.
There's a Bunsen burner at hand.
I'll just use that.
All right. So you want to set your leg on fire?
Well, I'm going to set the black goo on fire. I'm going to turn it onto that, you know, that blue flame.
It is all over your leg. It's crushing and squeezing your leg. You're having a hard time bending your knee.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to Bunsen burner this. I can't afford to take any.
All right.
Any
give
health
me.
Damage. I only have 2.
Give me a close combat attack.
Oh no. Oh my god, that's 3 panic and no successes.
Yeah, go ahead and roll another panic. Let's just see what happens.
That's a 6, so that's an 11.
An 11. That's not good. 11 is seek cover. You must use your next action to move away from the danger and find a safe spot as possible. So you start crawling across the floor, panicking, trying to get away from this. And as you drop the Bunsen burner, you were fumbling with it and you burned yourself or nearly burned yourself. So you drop the Bunsen burner. You start trying to crawl away, but you can't crawl away because it's squeezing your leg. And then you feel and hear inside the suit, you can hear the tear and you can hear the sound of air escaping out of your suit as it must have found a seam near the joint in the knee. And you can feel this cold press of liquid just flooding in and pushing it against your flesh. You look down at your leg and you can see almost like it's funneling into it. All that black goo is going straight into the suit and you can feel it pushing into you. You can't see it anymore because you don't have X-ray vision. You can't see through your suit, but you can feel it pushing around and it's in your pelvis area as it's pushing into your body.
Oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck. And he's gonna like run out of the science lab towards staircase B2 and the cryo chambers. Like, there's just one chance.
Yeah. So as you're running and you're screaming, oh fuck, oh fuck, the camera is pulling back and is lifting through the different levels of the ship as the camera continues to pull back and is in deep space. And as it pulls back, a second ship, a military style ship, is kind of slowly pulling into frame. And as it does, different ports open up as a salvo of rockets are launched from this military vessel, and they streak through the air through the vacuum of space, and they just start pounding into the Kronos, and the Kronos just goes up in a silent blossom of orange light. This ship continues to move forward, and it begins to shadow over a very small escape pod. Time passes, and that escape pod has been collected. John J. Wilson. Time has passed. You don't know how much time. You awaken, and as you're coming to, and you're regaining consciousness, you are strapped to a table, and your head is being held tight, and you are inside some kind of very science-looking chamber of some sort. And you can see thick glass windows, and there is an array of people in white lab coats observing you. And as you're kind of starting to struggle in this contraption that's holding you, you begin to feel a pain in your chest as you're starting to try and struggle and now scream as something is breaking through your chest. You look at the windows and you see the array of scientists who are observing you, and one of them is cradling and holding Kenny, silently stroking Kenny as a creature bursts out of your chest and you go dark.
Incredible. Kenny outlived us all.
Yay, Kenny!
That will conclude Alien Chariot of the Gods.
I came so close.
You did.
So close.
Amazing. And I mean, I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts on this. I mean, what I'd suggest is maybe we do kind of like an after show chat. It doesn't have to be a long one, but it'd be good to hear kind of what everyone feels about this particular game, about the system, about this scenario, and just about, you know, everyone's characters in general, because it's been an absolute blast playing. So we'll do a quick sign off and then we'll do a quick after show chat. So again, thank you all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed our playthrough of Free League's Alien Chariot of the Gods. If you've enjoyed it, please do check out Free League, and you'll find Alien RPG and Alien Chariot of the Gods as part of their starter set, which I highly, highly recommend. If you want to get in touch with us, if you like what we do a whole lot of other games, including Call of Cthulhu, Dungeons & Dragons, Pulp Cthulhu, and more. You can find all that at howwerollpodcast.com, on Twitter at HWRpodcast, and on our Patreon, where you can get a whole bunch of cool stuff, including some unreleased scenarios of Call of Cthulhu and Cult Divinity Lost, and obviously you get everything much, much earlier than the general public, and that's patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. If you want to get hold of me, if you want to chat about anything, you can find me on Twitter at JoeTheGM or on the podcast Discord, which is very much the hub of our social media community, and there's links to that on the show notes, and there's loads of chat of Alien RPG and books and games and all sorts of other stuff, so please do check that out. Scott, thank you again for playing. I'm relieved that Wilson got his.
Oh, he was hard done by there. He worked so hard for that bonus. He made so many sacrifices. I mean, not personally, but the prize was just within sight. This is a tragedy for the ages.
And honestly, like, I know you're kind of de facto GM for not just our podcast, but also a lot of other podcasts as well. But every time you play, I keep on finding myself saying, this is the best character you've ever played. This is the best character you've ever played. And like, I mean, Wilson was like number one, but I think he's down at number three now after some of the ones that we've done recently. Definitely needs more Scott playing than GMing in the world.
Thank you. But yes, yeah, as you say, I mean, I've GM for How We Roll, so if you want to listen to some of the stuff that I've been doing here, there's the Two-Headed Serpent campaign on the main feed, so do check that out. That's been going
on for... It's about to hit episode 100.
Yeah, yes. With I'm sure the end is within sight, I'm sure. But yes, alternatively, if you want to check out some of the other stuff I do, then give the Good Friends of Jackson Elias a listen. That's the podcast I do with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, where we talk about Call of Cthulhu, weird fiction, horror films, and other spooky stuff.
And highly, highly recommended. In fact, I've just listened to the Robert Aikman episode. It's an early episode, but it's absolutely brilliant. Really, really enjoyed both the story, but also your run-through as well. And I'm glad that both Matt and Paul also enjoyed the story. Maybe not quite as much as I did, but they didn't completely dismiss it. Camille, again, thank you so much for playing. I'm very sad that Leah didn't live through to Alien 2.
Alas, they met their untimely end, squished through a grate, as is the way of Weyland-Yutani.
Say, if you're going to go, I mean, what a way to go.
Yeah, I know, right? Literally just Swiss cheesed through the floor. But, you know, alas. I like to think in their last moment, they held up a finger to John and Weyland-Yutani and the aliens, like, fuck you! As their finger then just got grated through the floor.
Or just that finger sticking up from a pile of pink pulped meat on the ground.
Yeah, it'd be that sort of Terminator 2 ending where it sort of waves and then turns into the finger. Just, last part left of Leah is just this arm.
I think that'd be very fitting for them.
Definitely. I absolutely love playing that character. They were great. I think, I don't know, it's fun that they died in the end. There was quite a bit where I was like, oh, I don't want them to die. This is so fun. But I think it's part of the ending, you know. Yeah, end of the story, end of the line. If people want to get in touch with me on the Discord, I'm there at Camille B. Or on Twitter, I am at Camille Breward. And basically, I mostly just do stuff with How We Roll and, yeah, bits here and there. So get in touch.
Thank you so much. And Kat, again, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. And one of our patrons, Jens, has basically said we need more Pat Kat on the podcast.
Yes, please. I'd love to do more podcasting, especially as I am currently unemployed and therefore have lots of free time. I'll happily run games or playing games.
We would absolutely take you up on that. It's been great, and we've enjoyed both your characters.
Yes, the terrible Welsh accent and the dodgy attempt at being Ard. it's been really good fun. I loved playing Lyra, and it was very hard to stay secret as an android. And it was fun when the reveal was there, because it was like, I can just beat weird and mechanical now. So that was good fun. And I did like Valerie, because they were quite different from Lyra in sort of just gung-ho gunslinger. So they were both really good fun characters to play. If anyone wants to find me, I am on Twitch. I Twitch stream artwork and I Twitch stream video games, mainly artwork. I stream Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. And you can find me over at www.twitch.tv/Catherine Edmonds Art. And I'm also hanging around, lurking in the Discord. I don't speak much, but I am there, watching, always watching.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thank you again for joining us again. It's been great. And last but by no means least, thank you, John, for running us through this scenario. I know when we suggested back, I mean, was it 2021 when we started this? It feels like it's been a really while. We do a really short scenario, get used to the game, and it's turned into something far more epic than I'd ever imagined. And it's been great playing, but also editing it up into something that's sort of worthy of the story that you've told. So again, thank you so much for joining us on How We Roll.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. I had a blast. I love this scenario. I love the game system and the game mechanics. It's a lot of fun. I just had a blast. I think this is a ton of fun, so really appreciate you having me, and I'd love to do this again. There's more scenarios that are out there. There's some custom fan ones that I want to kind of dig into that I think are pretty good, and the author of this one, Andrew Gaska, has some new ones as well that I want to kind of check out, and maybe we can do another one of those, so it'll be fun.
I know that Heart of Darkness is not quite being released to the public yet, has it? I think it's maybe on pre-order.
Heart of Darkness has not. Yeah, correct. I forgot the name of the one that is here that I've got. But it's,
I've got
the,
it. It's Destroyer of Worlds.
Destroyer of Worlds, yeah. Destroyer of Worlds. But I've pre-ordered Heart of Darkness, so it'll be coming. But then they also released one that's based and tied with a novel And I have the novel. I haven't read it yet, and I haven't read that scenario, but that could be really cool too.
No, that would be absolutely fantastic. And we will talk a bit more into it in our kind of post chat, but we'd be more than welcome back on How We Roll. It's been an absolute blast. I know that a lot of listeners have commented on how much they've enjoyed our playthrough, and certainly your GMing, and then the production that's gone on as well. So I'm sure it'd be a very, very popular request. And again, if that's what you'd like, please, those of you out there in Twitter land or Discord land or internet land, please do let us know if you'd like more Alien on How We Roll. And how can people find more of you, John? Where are you on the internet?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I have a podcast, The Modern Mythos, that I do with Seth Skorkowski of YouTube fame. And we have a good time doing that. And you can find it on, really the best place to find us is directly on our Libsyn site. So I believe it's Modern Mythos. .com/Libsyn. You know what? I may be saying that wrong. So
I will put it in the show notes. So anyone that does want to check it out, perfect. Which is, again, I highly recommend doing. I'll
follow the link in the show notes. Follow that link in the show notes. That's the best way to find the show. And yeah, we have a Discord for Modern Mythos. We also have a Patreon. I really would encourage folks, if you want to try and get some extra content, which we're really working hard to try and put extra exclusive content, Seth and I are. Join our Patreon for that, please.
Thank you again. And again, thank you everyone for listening. I do hope you've enjoyed our playthrough of Alien Chariot of the Gods. And we'll be back very soon with our next exciting episode of, I believe it will be Root RPG, with Adrian Tchaikovsky as our GM.